Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Thanks for joining in. Man, what a crazy week. Every week lately seems to be crazy. Today's program, I'm going to start off with signing a good news piece. It is good news. And then we got a little bit of the same old, same old. And I don't know if I can make sense at this point of the Iranian situation. I understand some things which I will share, whether they fit scripture at this point in time, where there are paradigms from the Old Testament in particular. I certainly apply them, as you know. Go back a number of years, Donald Trump was Jehu. You've heard that. I don't need to share that again. More recently, he's been acting like Nebuchadnezzar. Which is not a negative or a positive. It's just kind of the way God has turned his heart, I guess. But I'm going to be covering some stories that I'm not sure I can give you the right chronology because things jump around. One thing happens, then there's a response, but then the response to the response seems to go back and predate the original statement. It's very confusing, but I'm going to do my best, so hear me out, because I have some things I think that will help understand it, at least in part. In total, no, I'm not that good. I don't have a clear vision yet of where this thing is going. There's possibilities, which I will share, but that's what we got to do. All right, so starting, the kind of good news, a little bit humorous, was, all right, J.D. Vance, I really like him. You know, I was listening to him the other day on the tarmac in Budapest. He was in Hungary, campaigning for Viktor Orban, who is probably, in my opinion, maybe the best leader of any country in the world. I would put him above Donald Trump. I would. He's like Trump as far as his policies. He's better than Trump with respect to his demeanor. And but they're very close. They are good, as you will hear from the story. So Vance is on the tarmac, and people are asking him questions about different things, not really about Hungary. It's all about the Middle East and the Iranian debacle. And he was so articulate and so quick with his response, well thought out, no duh, whatever, none of that. Oh, my gosh. I would say this, and I don't mean this to denigrate Trump. If there were a debate between J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, Vance would smoke him big time. And fortunately, that won't happen, as I say and myself here. But he was so good. But he's over there, and he's in front of 5,000 people in Hungary. And so what does he do? Vance, while he's speaking to 5,000 people, and it was a Viktor Orban rally, he calls up Trump. And so he went there to express his support for Orban ahead of the nation's election on Sunday. I have people that I know from Hungary. Spoke to one of them just a couple of days ago. The person said, I don't know which way this is going. Now, this person I spoke to is a huge Viktor Orban supporter. This person said that she is close friends with a cabinet-level official under Orban. She'd been trying to get me an interview with Orban. I mean, that would be incredible if I could have that, but that hasn't happened yet. But what she said is, as good as he is, the amount of money pouring into Hungary from left-wing billionaires around the globe, but particularly Western Europe, because basically Orban tells the EU, just gives them the middle finger. We're not going to do your tranny crap. We're not going to do your unlimited immigration. Just because you guys suck doesn't mean you have the authority to make us suck. Now, I'm paraphrasing. And of course, Orban and JD would put it in more hospitable terms. But I only got a few minutes on this program. I got to work fast to make sure the point is conveyed. And she said the money is just, I mean, the people are paid to protest. It's just what's happening here. The left has all the money, it seems like, and they pay people. And then when they look at their watch and say, oh, it's 8 o'clock, my shift is over. Or I love the one, I think it was, I don't know what rally it was, in New York City against everything conservative. Operation Wall Street, I think that's what it was. And the guy got hurt, and he filed a workers' comp claim, or attempted to, against the party that hired him to go protest. This happens everywhere, but it's now happening in Hungary. And I got to say something. I'm expanding on this more than I maybe should, but I think it's appropriate. If you lined up all the countries in the world based on morality. Okay, here we go. Based on morality, you will find the United States is not at the top. They are not actually near the top, considering what we allow with the greater expanded push towards abortion, tranny this, the queer LGBTQ, STUVWXYZ, crapola, that's everywhere. And sadly, Trump is pretty pro-queer. He made that point. He called himself the most gay president in the history of the United States. You flunk on that one, Donald. Like I said, only our attachment and support to Israel has kept us alive. Our attachment to Israel, I got a lot of people listening to this program. They disagree with me vociferously. But Israel's our lifeline. Israel does not need the United States. The United States needs Israel. Blessed are those that pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper. And there's this whole thing about, well, I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm anti-Zionism. That's a bunch of hooey to try to distinguish between the two and the conflation. You cannot get to one single passage in Scripture dealing with the return of the exiles of Israel back in the days of Babylon, all the way to the end times when Israel is restored as it is, and Jerusalem is again or will be its capital. You can't separate the geography from Scripture. And I will tell you, if you think that the church is the new Israel, the replacement theology, the only thing about replacement theology is that it needs to be replaced. You can't get there. That the promises made to Israel are all done, they're all Old Testament, that is a bunch of crap. That somehow the church has replaced Israel. That doesn't mean Israel goes to heaven without believing in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. There'll be a ton of Jews that go to hell. Just like a ton of people that go to hell all over the place that have refuted the gospel and don't believe in Jesus as the risen Lord. But that's our lifeline right now, is the support for them. I think it's why Trump was raised up, because there wasn't anybody else on the stage, so to speak, that was as pro-supportive of Israel as Trump is. But that doesn't mean Trump wouldn't dump Netanyahu if it served to pad his ego. No, it wouldn't. In fact, we'll get to it. But getting back to this other, man, did I drift on that one. So Vance spoke to Hungary, these 5,000 people. And the crowd, then Vance put Trump on the phone. And the place erupted. This was a bigger MAGA rally. This was MHGA, Make Hungary Great Again. Well, it is great, but they're trying to take it down. You know what? I'm going to digress again because I'm coming back to the point I tried to make and I went further off track. Lining up the countries morally. You can kiss Western Europe goodbye. UK is in the tank. It's a Muslim country, basically. France to follow, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, more recently Germany. Switzerland and Italy are holding out a little hope there. Maybe, maybe not. Western Europe sucks like I can't believe. It's why we don't belong in NATO. As I said about last week's program, is one of the good things that would come out of all of the apparent mistakes dealing with this administration and the Iranian thing is if it ended up getting us out of NATO because Western Europe was unreliable, that's a huge, huge plus. We don't need to fund them and support them. Let them fight communism all on their own. But that leads to my next point. If you look at the moral policies of Eastern Europe, and I'll throw into some extent here Switzerland and Italy, even though they're not part of Eastern Europe, but let's talk about the Czech Republic, Slovenia, Slovakia, Poland, Hungary. Get over to Belarus, which is a close ally of Putin. And now let's throw in Putin. Eastern Europe, and that includes Russia. Russia is really part of Europe, not Asia. The Soviet Union, no. But Russia, yes. And if you look at them from a moral perspective of where they are, morally, Eastern Europe, the former Soviet bloc, excluding everything in the Soviet Union other than Russia itself, is morally superior to Western Europe and is morally superior to the United States. What's the most morally sound country in the Western Hemisphere? You ready for this one? Jamaica. Jamaica, you go to jail for sodomy and similar crimes. I don't think there's any abortion there. I think you get to South America, I'm less educated on which countries allow what, but they pretty much all allow queer marriage now. Queer marriage is everywhere except Jamaica that I know of in the Western Hemisphere. That's what Eastern Europe is fighting. Belarus, which I did the story a couple of weeks ago. Look, they said, we're not going to put up with this queer crap, this sodomy, and we need children. Our populations are declining. The same thing Putin said. We are encouraging marriage. We are going to give subsidies to people who have children. The more kids you have, the more money you get. And we are done with abortion. It's not outlawed, but we aren't supporting it as a policy of the country, of Belarus or Putin, or of Russia or Hungary or these others. So look at this. We fought World War II to free the world from Nazism. And you have this post-war boom in Western Europe. Western Europe goes in the tank. You can flush them down the toilet. They suck. And if you want to talk about the Scandinavian countries, maybe they're on the cusp, but they're leaning left and more left all the time because they're so stupid to let in a gazillion migrants from the Middle East who are now raping all the blonde women, which the Muslims really, really like. And the kids aren't turning out blonde anymore. Nope. They have a cultural implosion there. And the Eastern Bloc of Europe, the former communist bloc, is where there is a resurrection of the gospel and basic moral values. Isn't that something? Now, in that list, I've said this before, on these cultural issues, the Muslims beat out the United States. Are there abortions that are taking place? Yeah, but not state-funded. They don't support it. They're back-alley abortions. Is there queer stuff going on? Of course there is. But the queers get tossed off from buildings. There's no support for sodomy. They have a strict, strict regard for that which Muhammad copied from the Torah, from the Old Testament. This is not, I'm not advocating for Islam, far be it. They hate Christians and Jews. Like I said, they hate Jews as a historical antipathy, going back to, well, maybe more on that later. I'm going too far. I'm back to my single story here. So Trump is on the other end of the line. Vance has got the phone. The people are going wild. He says, Mr. President, you are on the speaker here with 5,000 Hungarian patriots, and I think they love you even more than they love Viktor Orban. I don't know if that was the right thing to say, but he said it. Trump's response, quote, well, I can't believe that. I can't believe that because I love Hungary and I love that Viktor. I'll tell you, he's a fantastic man. We've had a tremendous relationship and he does the job. Remember this, he didn't allow people to storm your country and invade your country like others have. Of course, which is a reference to Joe No Brains Biden, as well as Western Europe. Wow. Didn't mean to spend 15 minutes on that. Okay. Now, some misdeeds. We got to go there. What is his name here? Elbridge Colby, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, speaking on behalf of the White House, actually, quoted in the Free Press this week, said, quote, the United States has the military power to do whatever it wants in the world. That's a little bit of an overstatement, but anyway, the Catholic Church had better take its side. In other words, this is a threat to the Vatican. You better take sides with the United States or you're on the wrong side. I don't think that was smart. But, I mean, there's a lot of Catholics in the United States, increasingly so all the time, largely because of the abortion issue, but some other things that are, they're voting Republican. That's a great source of increased conservative voters. But the concern at the Vatican was that it sort of goes back to a time in the, I think, the 14th century. I've read about this, but I don't know this. I took European history in college. Folks, that was a number of decades ago. So the French disputed the authority of the Vatican, the Pope, and then there was a period of time, I think was the Avignon, I think is how you pronounce, A-V-I-G-N-O-N, French word, for the Avignon Papacy. So there was a period of time where you actually had two popes. But the response coming from the Vatican is that the Vatican, quote, Vatican officials are so alarmed by the Pentagon's tactics that they have shelved plans for Pope Leo XIV to visit the United States later this year. That's fine. I am thrilled with him not coming here. He's overrated and overstated. The Pope is just a man. And the fact of the matter is, who knows? I don't know that he's going to heaven. I listen to things that Pope Francis, which I referred to as Poop Francis, because he was so screwed up. And the Vatican's being, they stick in their nose in everybody else's business, which does not line up with Scripture. That's my biggest issue. I want to say, Pope, could you read the Bible? Would you recognize it in a Christian bookstore? The second thing was, other officials in the Vatican, this is a quote, saw the Pentagon's reference to an Avignon papacy as a threat to use military force against the Holy See. So they're afraid that the United States wants two popes, one that supports the United States and the other one that do whatever the heck he wants, I guess. All right, done with that one. This one's no surprise. It's coming out absolutely empirically affirmed that there is psychiatric morbidity, is the term, for those who try to switch gender. Okay, quote here from WorldNet Daily, a new study published in the Acta Pediatrica, a pediatric journal, has delivered a stunning blow to the ideology of transgender activists whose main points include that chemicals or body-mutilating surgeries are needed, or else a patient will seek suicide. In fact, the study reveals that in some individuals, medical gender reassignment appears to be linked to the deterioration in mental health and subsequent to medical gender reassignment, psychiatric treatment needs are increasing. Gee, what a surprise. My goodness, who would have thunk it that gender mutilation and puberty blockers would lead to screwed up minds? While they were kind of screwed up before, this is the accelerant to them being totally screwed up. And the doctors and the teachers that advocate this, enjoy hell, you bastards. I do not apologize for that statement. You are worthy of the death sentence. Properly convicted, all right, before a jury of your peers, then pull the trigger. Interestingly, what this piece is saying, the trannies, and they're queers, but they're queers on steroids. They're basically saying that these chemicals, body mutilating surgeries, are needed, or else a patient will commit suicide. Certainly, there's a whole bunch that don't commit suicide. There are some that are trying to reverse it because of the way they feel. They're not committing suicide. They're trying to reverse it. But the fact of the matter is, as opposed to them committing suicide, the gender mutilation and the chemicals that they pour in the puberty blockers is actually akin to murder. Sustained breathing, but basically it's an assault with a deadly weapon. But that's what's necessary to keep a few of them from committing suicide. Boy, oh boy. Okay, it just keeps getting worse. We got this woman in Wisconsin that workplace violence. She was a coworker, 61 years old. She just came out and shot and killed her coworker because he was a Trump supporter. And that's now the case. The case is, this is absolutely, without question, the singular motivation is that the woman felt justified, her coworker, she works with a guy, to plug him and kill him because he was a Trump advocate. This is what the mainstream media has ginned up. This, it's legitimate to have these kinds of feelings of hatred. And it's all Trump's fault, because what Trump does is what incentivizes and causes the hatred that is then justified by Trump's actions to turn around and kill people and encourage people to kill Trump and so forth. That's where the left is. Trump wants to add $7 trillion to the national debt for defense purposes. Oh, we can't afford that. But he also did come out and say, in response to being able to meet our military obligations and protect us, we need to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and child care, return it all to the states. Let the states deal with it. There you go, California. Everybody that wants that after gets cut off from federal funds, you can move to California and have them pay for it, or Illinois, or New York, or any other screwed up states. And I would say this, that if Congress had the cojones to do that and cut it off and send it back to the states, and a judge said, no, you can't do that, Trump needs to just tell the judge to stick it where the sun does not shine. And I think you know what I mean. There is, the judges are not rulers of the world. It's interesting that the left has the No Kings protests. Well, you want to know who the kings are? Left-wing judges. It should be no left-wing judges. No left-wing judges who act like kings. You need to come to the point where you just have to disobey them and tell them to buzz off, because we're coming to that anyway. And when things fall apart, we will, one of our clearest, cleanest, most obvious obligations as Christians will be to defy the law, if in defying the law, we honor God. All right? That's pretty easy. Trump's got to put his phone down. He's railing at Bruce Springsteen. Knock it off, Trump. Just let the guy. Can't you turn the other cheek? Just let the guy go. Melania, I think you need to take Donald's phone away from him after 6 p.m. Now, I'm done with that. And now we're going to get to the Iranian situation, which I said I have tried about four times to put what I want to share in order, and I can't seem to do it. It seems like it's A precedes B, B precedes C, but C precedes A. You got that? I mean, it just seems like it defies logical order because of frankly, Trump switching positions 8 gazillion times. Things that we don't know what he did or did not tell Netanyahu, whether Netanyahu's buy-in was necessary. We have three different sets of 10-point peace proposals. So the media is deep into the obfuscation and confusing people, and it's to the point where I just sort of don't know what to believe. Obviously, I don't believe the New York Times. I sometimes believe the Wall Street Journal. Sometimes it's a little sketchy. There are times I don't believe Donald Trump, and I virtually never believe the Iranians. So where does that leave us? Well, I am just going to launch into this thing, and I may be jumping around, but it's going to be the best I can do. And through this, I'm going to bring out some things that I am convinced are true that will help you understand the landscape of where we are. And the first one I'm going to start with is Trump is at odds with Netanyahu. Now, there's a bunch of people from the New York Slimes and other papers that say that Netanyahu is running the show. I know that's what Megyn Kelly says. Candace Owens says that. Tucker Carlson, he's a sucker for everything stupid these days. I don't have any use for the guy. And I've heard from people tell me what a great Christian Tucker Carlson is. Well, I can quote Jack Hibbs, a very, very prominent Calvary Chapel preacher who rolls up his sleeves and gets engaged in present times, said he listened to Tucker Carlson personally. It was at an event, a private event, and all the guy did was F-bomb and talk trash. He was vile in his speech, and he said there was nothing that revealed any measure of Christianity in Tucker Carlson. Now, he can talk and ad ends about how he's Catholic, but that doesn't mean jack squat crap diddly. You can be Baptist. You could claim to be charismatic. And actually, you aren't a Christian. Where our salvation does not rest in our identification with a particular denomination. And Tucker and Candace and Megan just think that Netanyahu is behind everything, that he's pulling the strings. And this story is going to prove that to be incorrect, because Netanyahu was fuming. He was very upset at Trump because he thought we were going to bomb him. We're going to blow him to smithereens, which is what Trump has been saying, shoots his mouth off. We're going to do this. And like I said, he's changed the timetable 5 or 6 times. That's why the taco label's there. Trump always chickens out. But he keeps changing it and changing it and changing it and changing it. And finally he said, what, 8 p.m. this past Tuesday night, we're going to blow your civilization to pieces and will never be heard from again. 2 hours before that, 2 hours, he calls it off. And then what happened? Well, then what happened is a break. I didn't even see this coming up. I wouldn't have started this because I'm going to have to repeat it. Don't go away, please. You need to hear this. I think it will help.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Sorry, I had to turn that up. I love that song so much, the Bobby Fuller 4, the only song that was ever a hit, and I'm old enough that I have the 45 of that. I bought it for a dollar, and today it has to be worth at least 65 cents. Well, anyway, okay, so Trump on threat number 5, 6, who knows, can't keep track of them. And people aren't believing him, neither is Wall Street, too much, kind of. They're hedging. They're doing all sorts of things because he's not reliable at what he says is what he means. But he's going to bomb them, right? It's the end of Iran, the end of the civilization at 8 p.m. on this past Tuesday night. And at 6 p.m., he calls off the bombing raid because of supposed talks and a supposed peace plan and blah, blah, blah. What did he not do? He never told Netanyahu he was calling it off. No, he didn't. He never told him that there was a temporary ceasefire until the news broke elsewhere. So Trump has said that, you know, he agreed to this two-week ceasefire with Iran in the war. And the deadline and all of that, which, you know, all the deadlines pass because he doesn't act upon any of them and so forth. But he didn't tell Netanyahu. So what does Netanyahu do? He just keeps bombing Lebanon. And, you know, I had 182 people killed the other day in that. I think it was Wednesday. They killed 182. I'm not opposed to bombing Lebanon to get a Hezbollah. Those suckers hide behind women, children, and invalids. Take up residence in schools and nursing homes and hospitals. Sorry, I got in a dispute. The other guy said, I can't believe you would ever support bombing a school or a hospital. I said, well, yes, I would if the hospital is aiding and abetting terrorists and they're complicit in hiding them in the basement and that's where they hang out and that's a headquarters of sort. Then the nurses have become part of the Hamas or Hezbollah. If you're going to do that, that's part of the deal. Goodness sakes, God told Saul to kill every man, woman, and child of the Amalekites. There are times that that has to be done. And when you got these punky, gutless Muslims hanging out in those places, that's kind of amazing. Think about this. If they die supposedly as martyrs, all right, if they die as martyrs, then they go to a heaven where they have 72 virgins waiting for them. Okay, don't really know where that came from, but that's what they believe. That's what they fight for. That's part of the prize of martyrdom. But then I saw, which was kind of funny, actually, you see the successor, the Khomeini's, which I always call him Khomeini, now all of a sudden he's Khomeini. But anyway, his son, who is queer, and that's pretty well established that he's got a queer son, not married, no kids, but he is queer. I love the Babylon Bee piece. He said that Khomeini's son, the now supreme leader, if in fact he is alive or even conscious, that this queer guy, he's going to go to heaven, but he's going to be shocked and saddened to find out that all 72 virgins are women. Because he's looking for guys. I don't know. I thought that was pretty good. My wife hated that comment, but I thought it was pretty good for the Babylon Bee. But anyway, so Netanyahu goes ahead and bombs the daylights out of major portions of Lebanon because Hezbollah keeps firing rockets. It's called self-defense. I get it. But he wasn't told, so he does that. He's ticked off that he wasn't told that. Then the ceasefire is supposedly not a ceasefire from Iran's standpoint because Israel, after the supposed ceasefire that Trump did not tell Netanyahu about, goes ahead and continues to bomb Lebanon. So back we're back to the Strait of Hormuz, at least at the time of this taping, which is Thursday afternoon, is back to being closed. So I think yesterday there were three ships. They said, we're letting them through. And Trump's talking about the Strait of Hormuz is open. It's a great day in the Middle East. It's a gate, the breaking of a golden age in the Middle East with the opening of the Strait of Hormuz for three ships when 100 a day is the typical passage rate through the straits. It's a breakthrough because three went through. They're probably shipping companies or friends of Iran. Maybe they're Iranian ships. I don't know. Well, this is just really this kind of confusion was so avoidable. So my point being here, if you think that Trump is sucking up to Netanyahu, he obviously isn't when he didn't even tell Netanyahu that he entered into a ceasefire with Iran for 2 weeks, and we're gonna stop this and work it out. He didn't even tell his ally that. And now we have this confusion. Obviously, Trump thinks he's in charge all by himself, which refutes everything these other lackey so-called conservatives from Megyn Kelly to Tucker Carlson to Candace Owen that Netanyahu's calling all the shots. So Pakistan puts this thing together, but amazingly, this just blows me away. The versions are different. There's an English version, and there's a Farsi version, like the far side, but Farsi version, Farsi side version. And there are three words that were left out of the American version, the English version, and that was the phrase dealing with uranium enrichment. That is something Iran's not conceding, that they can't do that. But apparently it's in the American version that they're going to surrender the uranium enrichment process. That's what Trump talks about, and we don't even have an agreement that lines up. Not even these talking points don't even line up. So, you know, as Scripture says, where there is confusion and strife, there is every evil work. So what's more, it's obvious Iran is intent on continuing uranium enrichment. Trump insists Iran is willing to abandon both its uranium stockpile and its nuclear weapons program. There is nothing that has been put in print that Iran has said that. Now, they're a pack of liars. I think Trump lies some of the time, and I think Iran lies all of the time, and Democrats think they lie all the time thinking that lying is the truth. So they aren't even conscientious liars. They're that screwed up. But I don't believe Trump tells the truth all the time. Now, maybe this is part of the bluster that's part of the art of the deal. I don't know. But it gets confusing. But here the confusion is considerable. Because after this meeting with the Pakistani intermediators, John Ratcliffe, our CIA director, summed up Netanyahu's pitch to Trump in one word, saying it's farcical. In other words, the bombing plan was And Marco Rubio weighs in, saying, telling Trump, in other words, this is a bunch of BS. Nobody really knows what the plan is. But that doesn't seem to matter to Donald. He goes on to say this is what it is because he wants these accolades. I love his policies. I can't stand his mouth. So what does he say? Today he's blasting the EU again, or NATO, for not coming to his side to help him out, obviously, with opening the Strait of Hormuz, the situation that he put everybody in. I'm not saying it was wrong, but don't blast your so-called friends for something that you have done to them or a situation you've put them in. Don't do that. Like I said last week, there is a silver lining in it, I think, and that is if we dump NATO as a result of all this. But he said that he's blasting NATO because they won't help open up the Strait of Hormuz one day after being, which was yesterday, that he's considering a joint venture with Iran for the Strait of Hormuz tolls. Reading here from The Hill, this is a reliable source on this piece. President Trump on Wednesday said he is considering the formation of a joint venture with Iran to set up tolls in the Strait of Hormuz after the Trump administration and Tehran agreed to a two-week ceasefire. So it says, and this goes to Trump speaking here, we're thinking of doing this as a joint venture, the president said. It's a way of securing it. And also securing it from lots of other people. It's a beautiful thing. Earlier on Wednesday, Trump wrote on Truth Social that there's big money to be made by the U.S. aiding in the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. We'll be loading up with supplies of all kinds and just hanging around in order to make sure that everything goes well. But I'm confident it will, and there's big money to be made. So the U.S. creates the problem, and then Trump is proposing a solution whereby we profit from the problem we created, this opportunistic thing. Donald, why are we trying to make money? Now, there's a part of this I understand. If he couched this solely as, we don't want to do this, but we would do this, and we would commit whatever funds are raised to policing it. In other words, we have to fund this operation of keeping the strait open for everyone. But it's not up to us to fund it, and NATO, you suck, so you know you're not going to do it. So we're going to take some of the funds, which are about $1 a barrel that goes through, of oil, and we're going to use that to reimburse ourselves for this. Now, doesn't that sound reasonable? It does. But he comes out at midnight on Truth Social to say, hey, there's big money we can make from this. It was open before. It's closed now. But we're going to have this great idea of tolls. And because of the tolls, we want a piece of the action. That's basically what he's saying. The only justification is to reimburse us. And he alluded to that. But when the big money can be made in this thing, that it's so opportunistic. No wonder Israel would just say, stick it. I'm not Israel, but the NATO would say, stick it, or we're not going to do something here. You're using this as an opportunity to make money. But we're doing this as a joint venture? Oh, my gosh. Quoting. The Islamic Republic's previous proposal to toll vessels drew criticism from Marco Rubio. He blasted the potential tolling system as illegal and dangerous for the world, adding that the U.S. and European partners would have to have a plan to address that possibility. Rubio noted, however, that the U.S. would not lead in that plan. Funds raised by Iran's toll system will go towards reconstructing the country's region, said their regional officer. That's Iran speaking. What we collect, we're going to use to rebuild what Israel and America destroyed. And no wonder Vance calls this a fragile truce, because it is. But Rubio comes out and he blasts Iran for a tolling system. That's illegal. It's dangerous for the world. These are international waters. And then what does Trump do? He doesn't listen to Marco Rubio. He goes out and says there's big money to be made here with a joint opportunity. I don't know if at some point Rubio, who is great, he's the candidate I want running. I love J.D. Vance. I love Rubio. But Rubio is the guy we need in 2028. Boy, where am I here? So, yeah, well, I know. Rubio said, this is horrible. You can't do tolls. This is contrary to international law. And then to have his boss come out and say, oh, we're talking about doing a joint venture. Who's talking? Trump is talking to himself. I can't believe for a second Iran would go into a joint venture with the United States. Oh, man, how does that encourage confidence in our presidency? So anyway, where am I here? You see why this is a tough program? It is really difficult to put this in the order that it needs to be in. As far as the passage of the ships through Hormuz, they were talking about all the ships that went through. Now, being the nerd that I am, and I mentioned this last week, I have known about marinetraffic.com for years. I track ships going through the strait in Mackinac, going up to the Lake Superior and coming back down, and the different ships. And I got a grandson. We track them, and we have a blast. We got our favorite ships. I've looked at all over the world, marine traffic. Well, as soon as they said that the passages are open up and the ships are passing through, I went right to marine traffic and looked it up yesterday when they said that. I zeroed down, and marine traffic is accurate within 2 minutes. Check it out, marinetraffic.com. Join my nerd club. It's a blast. Well, anyway, I went there. Where were all these ships? There looked like there were about three, and they were coming from the Iranian side of the Strait of Hormuz. They weren't coming around from the United Arab Emirates side or the Oman side. The Omani, is that how you say it? I don't know. What are the people? Are they Omanis? I'm not sure. Bogus. There was nothing coming through other than a couple of ships that apparently had launched. Coming, you could see it coming right from whatever the port is in Iran that's on the Iranian side. Or else, the only other explanation is that these three ships snuggled really, really, really closely to the Iranian side because maybe, I got to leave something here, that's the only side that's clean of mines. So what Iran is saying now is that, well, you got to, we need the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps has to be in charge of the passage of all ships because we need to guide you, meaning we need to keep track on you. We need to give, we have the charge tolls. We have to guide you through the straits because we know where the mines are laying in the water. And if you don't want to blow up, you have to follow us. So that could be that maybe they were leading these three ships, just three. There's stockpiles of ships on the northwest side and this southwest side of the promontory that forms the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, gazillions of ships. In fact, you got to zoom in so close to get any separation of the ships to see what flag they're flying under. You can click on them and find out a whole bunch of stuff. What flag they're flying on, what they're carrying. They're pretty much mostly oil ships. But the strait itself is empty other than for these three. And what does it tell you if they want to guide you? They're not saying they're going to remove the water mines. They're not removing them. That has never been there. Well, last thing I heard here a minute ago is Netanyahu has opened up, said, look, all right, we're open to ceasefire talks with Lebanon. Now that somebody finally clued the guy in, and why are they talking about ceasefire with Lebanon? Because Iran won't do a ceasefire with us unless Israel stops bombing Lebanon. So, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owen, and Tucker Carlson, again, who's in charge? Donald Trump. Donald Trump has to have told Netanyahu to quit bombing because you're wrecking our ceasefire with Iran. This is so complex. I've explained it the best I possibly can with my understanding and what I believe is maybe some Holy Spirit direction in trying to understand this. Now, you have to understand, at some point, Iran biblically gets toasted. They have to. If you go to the book of Genesis, I've got a bunch of stuff else to share, but I'm thinking this is more important. When Israel crossed into the Sinai, they ran into the Amalekites. And the Amalekites attacked them. And Israel finally destroyed them. This is a battle where the battle was raging, and when Moses' hands were in the air, the Israelis were prevailing, and then when he put his hands down, the Amalekites prevailed. And so Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and Israel prevailed. But God said, the Amalekites are marked for complete and total destruction. Okay? Total destruction. They're going to be wiped off the face of the earth because of the way they treated Israel. Now let's jump ahead to Saul. Saul is in a battle against the Amalekites. And who is their king? Agag. And what does God say? I referenced this earlier. God said, you destroy every single one of the Amalekites. Man, woman, child, leave nothing. Kill all the animals, the sheep, the oxen. They're gone from the face of the earth. And Saul disobeyed, and he kept Agag alive. And then Samuel said, because you did this, you've lost the kingdom. Samuel gets out an axe, and it says, I kind of love this piece, it said that he hacked Agag to pieces. But they didn't kill all of the Amalekites. How do we know? Jump to the book of Esther. We've got the bad guy, Haman. He wants all the Jews killed, just like Agag did, or the Amalekites did. But what and who is Haman? It says, and Haman, it says in Esther, and Haman the Agagite. Haman was a descendant of Agag. Haman is an Amalekite. Now, how many Amalekites are in Iran? Maybe, I don't know, they moved east. I don't know how that works or what happened. But the Amalekites ended up under Haman, his second in command to King Ahasuerus. And so, if that's where the Amalekites are, biblically, they have yet to be annihilated. And so I jumped to maybe in a conclusion a couple weeks ago, and I said, there's a way to solve this. Tell all the Iranians that in 2 weeks you're going to nuke them, and that's the end of it. Get out while you can. Well, Trump wouldn't keep that promise either. But The issue is, I think, like it was in The Sound of Music, where the Nazis blocked all the borders of Austria so the Austrians couldn't escape to Switzerland. They were trapped. I'm guessing that's what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps would do, would block the exits. And a spokesman for the evangelistic organization Transform Iran said, there are probably 10 million Christians in Iran. They're quiet. They're hidden because they have to be. So we'd have to be careful about how we do that. I'm not leaving you with an answer today other than that God rules and reigns in the affairs of man, and he turns the hearts of the kings in whatever direction he so desires. So notwithstanding the bombastic stuff from Trump, I have to somehow just trust God that he is still using him in a way that I don't yet understand. But I trust that we soon will. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll talk to you next week.